If you are a businesswoman working to amplify your six and seven figure business from success to significance, then you know it's not just about the right strategies or the right tactics. It's more and more about high caliber people around you, your team, your collaborators, and advisors that can open doors for you and widen your reach. Welcome to Your Circle of Influence podcast with your hosts, Dr. Monica Ogando and Amy Walker.
Hello, hello, everybody. Welcome to another episode of Your Circle of Influence podcast. I am your co-host, Dr. Monica Ogando.
And I'm Amy Walker. And today we have got another great topic for you guys. Monica and I were talking about this beforehand, and I was like, today's topic, like, I don't even have to prep for this. This is just literally how I live my life.
That's right.
So we want to give you our best tips for getting more done and increasing productivity.
Yes.
And I'm ready.
I'm ready. So. Because I think this is such an important and popular topic, but at the same time, there are some counterintuitive wisdom nuggets that perhaps need to be explored.
Yeah. And this is definitely the kind of topic where, you know, different strokes for different folks. Like, yeah, Monica's things that she does are going to be different than the things that I do. And what I'm just hoping is that all of you get some good ideas. Like, it opens up your mind to the fact that I could actually be in charge of my day, and I could actually accomplish those things that I'm wanting to accomplish and feel like I'm moving the needle in my life.
Yes, exactly.
Now, without killing yourself.
Without killing yourself. That's an important premise. I have kind of moved the needle or moved my pendulum from one extreme to another in different phases of my life. Mm-hmm. And I've landed in what I think is the middle. I used to be very like, flow, go with the flow. She's a Pisces. Well, we don't know what we're doing today. La, 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 la. And somehow things got done, but I couldn't predict my energy or how much of it or whatever. And so that would result in sometimes feeling overwhelmed and feeling like ineffective and like I wasn't getting the right things done, and that that what I was getting done was taking too long because I didn't have a strategy to it. So I had to add a little bit of that masculine structure to that flow so that the flow could blossom and bloom and flourish and emerge and so forth. So one of the first things that I did was accept myself for my dominant energy being flow versus linear, you know, chronological productivity in the traditional sense and what we know in this culture. Because I kind of beat myself up for, you know, we praise people who are early risers. Mm-hmm. The early bird gets the worm and all of that. And I'm like, I mean, the only way I could be an early bird is because I'm going to sleep at 5 a.m. because I'm such a night owl. And so I had to forgive myself and to accept myself for kind of going against the grain on that. And understanding also the magic that exists in flow, because I don't know if you have ever been in a state of flow for yourself. I know you have. I know you have. If you've lived beyond 10 years, you've been in flow. Mm-hmm. It's very dominant with children. They can spend hours playing or focusing on a particular project or whatever because they're completely fascinated by it. And this is what happens with me when I'm coaching, when I'm preparing any kind of speech or talk or writing or whatever. Like when I'm deep into teaching or information, I get lost in time. And so the first tip that I have for you is to understand what takes you to that place, understand what actually energizes you when you do it, and what drains you when you do it, because that's a clue about what you should be spending your time and energy on. That's the first tip that I have. The second tip is to follow your own energy signature. I have been a night owl since I was a child, since I was a baby. Mm-hmm. Like, that's not something that developed over time because I spent too many times on the third shift. I was built like that. And so, and even though I have behavior modified my way into being early for certain things, I know that I do my best creative concentrated, focused work at night. And so in the mornings, if I have to be up in the mornings, I'll do stuff that doesn't require creativity, that doesn't require a big amount of focus. And if it does, I need to be partnered with someone that can carry that energy. Like when you and I record podcast episodes at 9 o'clock in the morning, that's the accountability that I need in order to be able to show up. So follow your own energy signature is my third tip. And then the third thing that I'll say I have two more things to say. The third thing is...
Nope, you only get one because you said my last thing and then you tried to throw in this bonus second
thing. Oh, yeah, you know.
What is that about? Extra wisdom? I don't know.
Extra credit, children. So the third thing I'm going to say is it helps a lot for me to do themes for certain mm-hmm. days.
Yeah.
So I only do writing or marketing stuff, et cetera, on, let's say, Tuesdays and Wednesdays. I only do coaching on Thursdays. I only do financial stuff on Fridays, like that, because then when I get an idea, when I get a to-do, when I get a meeting, when I get a thing, I know where to put it on the weekly calendar. And it also doesn't stress me out when I get an idea, let's say about finances, and it's Monday. I'm like, okay, let's put it in the Friday basket and I'll get to it when it's Friday finances. Yeah. That's been so helpful to manage my own energy and stress around what's due, what's not due, and to give myself more time to kind of percolate on certain things. And then the extra credit tip that I have is to build that productivity around your rejuvenation, your self-care.
Okay, that's a good one. I'm glad we let you share the extra wisdom. And that's an important one.
The other way around, because I think what has happened as a result of the Industrial Revolution, which is long gone, we should like give it up by now, and the slavery culture, I have to say it, is that we feel as though rejuvenation or self-care is a reward for hard work.
Yeah.
You only get it after you've white-knuckled your way into non-existence versus... You get your default is living in flow. If you see a baby, like when we're first born, we're just being, we're just existing. The things to do come later. Mm-hmm. And I want you to build your productivity around your rejuvenation, not the other way around.
Yeah, that is a really good point. Because otherwise you keep pushing back your rejuvenation until it doesn't get there. And then you don't have anything left to give.
Right.
Exactly. And you are not productive when you are burnt out, overwhelmed, mm-hmm. maxed, stressed. I have a policy that I don't work frantic, I don't work overwhelmed, and I don't work stressed. And so when any of those things start to creep in, I'm like, okay, it's time to stop. Mm-hmm. It's time to breathe. It's time to journal. It's time to nap, guided meditation. But that is sometimes the most productive thing that I can do is actually rejuvenate so that I can jump back in and be at a higher level of creativity. Right. So that's actually my first tip, is you've got to look at productivity as this intersectionality between creativity and discipline and passion. Those three things. When you have that, you are hyper productive. Yeah. Creativity, passion, discipline. When one of those things is not present, you can do it for a while by overcompensating with another. Mm-hmm. So for example, passion comes and goes. Passion, I think, is the most fickle of those three, right? Because passion comes and goes, and it's sometimes there and it's sometimes not. And so you can still stay productive by increasing your discipline, mm-hmm. or you can stay productive by increasing your creativity, mm-hmm. but you have to know for you which one brings back the passion, because mm-hmm. passion is not an ever-present thing. So for years and years, I didn't understand that creativity was a part of this mix. And so I was operating off of just really two. It was like, it's discipline and it's passion. And when passion goes, then I just like, I can be disciplined. I can get it done. I can work through it. And then the passion would come back because I had created results. When I integrated in creativity and understood that that was a huge component, I actually find that creativity reinvites the passion to come back. Mm. So it's a faster way for me to get back to that like state of balance mm-hmm. than trying to just do it through discipline alone. But you have to have all three. Mm-hmm. And some of us are naturally really good at other like parts of the puzzle, and we're not good at others. Mm-hmm. And you just have to cultivate and develop those. Mm-hmm. I Also love my theme days. I don't do well jumping back and forth between lots of different tasks. And in fact, I will sometimes get, especially hits me in the afternoon, where all of a sudden I'm like, I'm doing everything and I'm doing nothing. And so I have to pause and then refocus my six most important things list. So in the beginning of the day, I do a brain dump of what are all of the things that are on my mind that are feeling pressing, feeling like they need my attention, feeling like they need to get done. And I categorize it. I have one category that is for my relationship as daughter of God, one that is my wife category, one that is my mother category, one that is my Amy Walker consulting category. And then I have one that is my author category. Mm-hmm. And then sometimes I'll have a miscellaneous for just like other things that pop in. Mm-hmm. I go through and I brain dump everything that is on my, in my head, because it's so counterproductive to have swirling thoughts.
Yeah.
So I brain dump them out and then I look at it and I say, okay, what ones am I going to delete? Like they're in my mind. They're taking up space. They're giving me pressure. I don't have to do them. Nobody has to do them. They're just energy sucks. So I just delete those. I'm like, no, I'm not going to the history night at school tonight. No, we're not doing this thing where I'm not going to that baby shower, you know, whatever those things are. Like, especially like baby showers for people that you don't even know, but you know their parents. Like, I don't need to be at that baby shower. I don't know your kid, right?
Right.
I'm excited that you're having a grandkid, but I don't need to be at it. So just delete things. And then the next thing that I do is I delegate and I look at it and say, who else could do these tasks? And I go through and spend some time assigning out. And then I come back and I say, with everything left, what are the six most important things for me to accomplish today? And so I'll get my list down to six. Then what happens is I jump into those first in the morning. So I allow my mornings to be dedicated to my productive agenda before I start getting responsive with other people. I usually have to come back and do this again in the afternoon, because I hit the afternoon and all of a sudden it's like I'm doing everything and nothing. And there's so many different things going on. And again, what has happened is my mind has refilled with all these have-tos and ideas and things. And so then I will take those and I'll do another round of brain dump. I'll do another round of, you know, what's on my six most important things list, and just kind of silence everything else. It is not as long in the morning as it is in the afternoon. The afternoon is usually like a 10-minute focus. The morning takes me a little bit more time. You might think this sounds like a really time consuming process, but it doesn't, because the reality is most of the stuff that's on your list today was also on your list like yesterday. And it's carried over into today. And now it's the thing that makes today's top six list, but it didn't make yesterday's.
Right.
So that's one strategy that I use. Another thing that helps me is to ask myself this question in the small spaces. Because a lot of times what happens is we have 10 minutes here and we have 15 minutes there. And we look at it and we say, well, that's not enough time for me to accomplish XYZ. So instead, I'm going to go watch an episode of Carpool Karaoke. And then we spend a lot of time dedicated to things that are not high value. Although I actually do find Carpool Karaoke to be high value because I love it. I wish they did them more often, but that is a side note. So I look at those little, you know, not enough time slots. And I just ask myself the question, what's the best thing I can do in this time? What can I accomplish in this time that is going to be good for me and move me forward? And sometimes it's like, you know what? Actually, you've been working really hard. Your brain needs a little break. Go watch a Carpool Karaoke. Sometimes it's like, I could lay on the bed for 10 minutes and just kind of refresh. Sometimes it's like, I could send this email and that email, or I could write the first two paragraphs of the email that needs to go out today. But I find little things that are productive in the small spaces. I think people underutilize the small spaces because they look at it and they think, oh, well, you're not enough. You're not going to get me where I need to go. Instead of really utilizing them. Other tips, do less, do more of less. So whenever people ask me, like, I just don't understand how you do it all. I'm like, I don't do half of the stuff that you do. I do a few things and I do a lot of those few things. And I don't try, attempt, or feel guilty about all the stuff that I opt out of.
Yeah,
that's been a big one, especially for this phase of life that I'm in. I was up at 6 a.m. this morning making a dog man costume out of construction paper for the book character day. And, you know, it took us 15 minutes and he was stoked when he left the house. Mm-hmm. It was construction paper, eyeliner, and some contour.
Hey, come on now.
He was stoked when he left the house. And I spent about 15 minutes on it, whereas I could have tried to sew that costume. Mm-hmm. I could have tried, you know, like gone shopping and gone all out. And it wouldn't have created any more joy in that crazy little boy. He was as happy as can be. So I believe in the art of doing the minimums to create the maximums. Mm-hmm. Like, don't overcomplicate. Don't apply pressure to yourself to do things that are not going to give you any more return on investment. Mm-hmm. That time we spent this morning had huge return on investment. My husband, as Brendan was leaving for the bus, he's like, thanks for making him so happy this morning. And like he was on fire with joy. And I gave him what it took to create the outcome, mm-hmm. but I didn't give more because of my sense of perfection or my sense of insecurity about my kid going to school with the construction paper costume. Mm-hmm, right. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So do more of less and recognize what those minimums are that create the maximum result and don't do more than it. When you have limited time and you have lots of demands on your time, it's kind of a game changing principle.
Mm-hmm. I love
what
you're saying here, because that's having your goals as a North Star and the roles that you play in different areas of your life. To one of the questions that I ask myself is, what would have me, whatever the annual goal is, and breaking it down into quarterly or monthly or whatever, because I do that. But for this week, what would have me feel like I've made significant progress here? What would have me feel like I'm on track, right? And so I first identify the feeling I'm going for. Maybe I want to feel accomplished. Maybe I want to feel on track. Maybe I want to feel caught up. Maybe I want to feel in excellence and integrity, you know, if there's something that I've left behind and I need to get caught up and get in integrity again. So I identify that feeling and then identify what do I need to have happen? Because it doesn't have to happen by me, by my labor. Mm-hmm. It just has to happen by my direction and my commitment. Yeah. And so what has to happen in order to have me generate that feeling? And then either, to your point, delegate, renegotiate deadlines, you know, get down to work, do a co-working session, do a Pomodoro. Those Pomodoros are a lifesaver, man, because that 50 minutes of focus time of just working on that particular thing that I'm doing and then taking like a 5 or 10 minute break, you know, that does something to your brain because it tells you, you're not going to be working forever. You can still go check your phone in 50 minutes. You can still go take a little bio break in 50 minutes. But right now we're doing this. And it kind of like satiates that dopamine hit.
Yeah. My challenge with Pomodoros is that I get done with 50 minutes and like, that was way too short. Such mm-hmm. a marathon girl. Mm-hmm. Oh, which, you know what? I want to share this. This is one of my mantras that I was really helpful for me when I was developing my business, because there is something about entrepreneurship where you will never, ever, ever have a completed to-do list.
Yeah.
There's always more stuff to be done.
It's just true.
And if you're basing your measure of success and productivity on the length of your to-do list and everything being crossed off, it's a really unhappy way to live.
Yeah.
So this is my mantra that I developed early on, and it goes like this. Businesses are not made or broken in a day, a week, a month, or even a year. I am in business for the marathon, not the sprint.
Mm-hmm.
And so I remind myself of that pacing is a really important part of productivity, mm-hmm. that I'm not trying to rush to get everything done within a day. I'm trying to show up every day and do my run at my pace. I have two kids that are runners, and it's always funny because when I'm watching them, and they'd run distance, long distance. So when I'm watching them at the beginning of the race, I'm always like, pick it up, run faster, pass that guy, you know? And then if they do, like if at the beginning of the race, I'm like, oh, wow, they're having a really good race. By the end of the race, they're trash and they actually finish at a worse time.
Mm-hmm.
But if they start off and I'm like, pick it up, you're going slow. By by the end of the race, they've had a great race and they know that pace.
Mm-hmm.
They know what it takes for them to be able to have the energy at the end to push and to pass the people.
Yeah.
And so you need to know what that pace is for you. What is the pace that you can be a marathon runner at? Because mm-hmm. when you're in constant sprint mode, at the end of the race, you don't have anything to give. Like you can run a short sprint, but then you're going to have to sit down on the sidelines and rest for a long time.
Yeah, exactly.
And it's very disruptive to your life and your business to constantly be like overworking, underworking.
Mm-hmm.
Instead, pick what that marathon pace looks like to you and just do it day in, day out, run it, be consistent, enjoy it.
Mm-hmm.
And when you hit the end of what you said you were going to do, be done and be pleased with the efforts that you gave today.
Yes.
The other mantra that I have is I'm doing my best and my best is enough. That's and so when I get to that spot in the day where I'm like, okay, it's time to be done. There are 20 more things to do. I'm like, I'm doing my best and my best is enough. I'm in business for the marathon, not the sprint. So it's time to be done for today so that I can run that marathon again tomorrow.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Sweet. If you don't yet know your own energy signature, if you don't yet know what works best for you, or if you're reinventing it because maybe you're in a different phase of your life, here's what I would recommend that you do. Keep a time log for yourself. And you might need more data points. It might be a week, 2 weeks, maybe 30-day sprint of keeping a time log for yourself so that you can notice some peaks and valleys and what are the busy days and what are the times of day that work best for you and what are you busy doing? What interrupts you? What throws you off? What disrupts your flow? So that when you can see that, then you can start making some intelligent requests of the people that love you, support you, work with you, work for you. And so that you know what to commit to, what to say yes to or no to give yourself a buffer of overestimating how much something will take and to underestimate how long something will take. Sometimes the Parkinson's law states that work expands to the time allotted to it. And so when you have those benchmarks, when you know those patterns for yourself, then you can develop your own productivity plan and make sure that it's in integrity with your own authentic energy signature.
Love it. All right. We want to hear from all of you. What are your productivity tips? Share them with us. Connect with us online. I'm at Amy Walker Coach and Monica is at Monica Ogando. And we look forward to hearing from you. We love your reviews. We love your questions. We love your comments. We love that you download this show and listen to it. I mean, that is such a great honor to be able to be in your circle of influence. And so we just want you to know how much we appreciate you and all of the amazing things that you are doing. You're doing enough. It's your best. It's enough. Tighten it up a little bit. Honor yourself a little bit more. And remember to integrate that creativity, that discipline, that passion. Mm-hmm. You'll be amazed at how much you can get done.
Yes. Good stuff. Thank you, everybody, for being with us. We'll see you next time.